In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think the word obey has now become a bad four-letter word. I think we hesitate to use the word obey. I think we're even scared to use the word obey. And when we talk about someone obeying another person, we kind of think behind that there's some kind of oppression or some kind of torture, some kind of slavery. So I'm going to say a few phrases for you, and I'd like you to see if they make you at all uncomfortable. They may not, depending on your generation a little bit. But see if they make you at all uncomfortable, or when I say them, if they make you just a little bit nervous, like maybe I shouldn't be saying that. Okay, so the first one is, children should obey their parents. And employees should obey their boss. Citizens should obey their government. And students should obey their teachers. Now, my hunch is that if you're in the older generations, they may not bother you at all. But if you're in maybe my generation and younger, we cringe at that a little bit. Because we now are part of this culture of individualism, the culture of me, and it's a proud culture. It's a culture of pride, and basically it's like we don't like the word obey because we don't think we should have to obey anyone. That's the culture we live in. It's a kind of culture of no one has a right to tell me what to do. So, in a nutshell, what I'd like to do this morning is take back the word obey and show you it's not all that bad. In fact, it's good. Obey is not a bad word. Now, are there times, I feel like I need to say this so you don't misunderstand me, but it's sad that I even have to feel like I have to say this. But are there times you shouldn't obey? Yes, of course. If your parents are telling you to do something evil, you don't obey them. But understand, that's the exception. That is the exception. The rule is that obedience is a good thing. Now, that's bad for us because we're sinners and we like to disobey. We are proud. Don't tell me what to do. But the good news for you is that Jesus obeyed for you. He was perfectly obedient. We call it his active obedience. That he, even though he didn't have to, kept every single part of the law for you. And that's what we hear about in the temptation of Jesus. Right after he's baptized, he goes out into the wilderness, and the devil's job, the devil's whole goal, is to try to get him to be like us, to disobey, to be proud. And so that's what he plays on. As I quickly go through these temptations again, I think you'll see it. The devil wants him to get prideful and say, yeah, you know. So take the first one. If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. What the devil wants Jesus to do is kind of puff out his chest and say, well, yeah, I am the Son of God. I don't have to listen to anyone, and I'm hungry. So I'm going to tell these stones to become bread. See, that's what the devil wants. See, come on, Jesus. You know, are you a wimp? Oh, you're not going to tell the stones to become bread because your daddy doesn't want you to. You know, that's what he's doing. He's appealing to the sinful pride in us. But Jesus is not too proud to obey. So even though he hasn't eaten for days and he's hungrier than hungry, he says, no, devil, you're not going to fool me. You're not going to fool me. I'm not too proud to obey. My Father loves me, and I trust him. He's good. Right? And think about that all the times you and I have given into that temptation where the devil will come to us, you know, and say, you need this, you need that, and why wouldn't God want you to have that, right? No one's going to tell you no, right? And we say, yeah, that's right. Well, Jesus stands in our place and says, no, it's not right. God loves us. We can trust him. Or I'll do the second one for you too, the testing God. The devil wants him to test God, so he takes him to the very top of the temple and says, jump off, Jesus. If you're the Son of God, let's see it. Do it, right? Prove it. Show us you're the Son of God. Jump off of here. I'm sure God will take care of you, right? But again, Jesus says, I don't have to prove it. I'm not too proud to obey. I don't have to prove anything to you. No, God loves me. I don't have to jump off and see if he'll catch me to know that. My Father is good, right? I trust him. So for all the times that you and I have tried to test God and say, yeah, God, if you really loved me, you know, you'll let me have this or you'll let me do that or, you know. No, Jesus says we don't need to test him. We trust him. And then, of course, the last one, you know, he flat out lies, tells Jesus he'll give him all the kingdoms of the world, but Jesus doesn't buy it. Now, all of this is to make up for the first reading that we heard today. When the serpent first came to Adam and Eve and said to them, right, God told you you couldn't have the tree of that, the fruit of that one tree? Come on, are you going to take that? You know, who tells you no? Who tells you what to do? Don't you want to be like God? And they said, oh, yeah. You know, can't you just see their chest puffing out? Well, yeah, yeah, you know, that food does look good. And why, you know, who tells us what to do? And there the devil has them. That's deadly pride that says, why should I have to obey? I don't have to listen to anyone. I know what's best for me. And you know, or maybe you haven't heard this before, but at the root of all atheism, which is not believing in God, at the root of all atheism is just simply pride. It's thinking that we know better. So if I don't believe in God, what I'm saying is I know better than any God anywhere. I don't need anyone to tell me what I can and can't do. That is pride. So Jesus had to come and stand in our place. So the perfect verse that summarizes everything I'm telling you, Paul gives us in Romans chapter 5. He says, for as by one man's disobedience, that would be Adam, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, that would be Jesus, many are made righteous. The obedience of Jesus, him obeying for you, makes you righteous with God. See, I started out saying that obedience tends to be this bad kind of a word. Well, it always will be to pride. It'll always seem like a bad word. I don't want to obey. Why? Because I'm prideful and I don't want to. But in Christ, living in Christ, obedience is not a bad word. In fact, it is a wonderful word. And so Paul coins this phrase. He calls it the obedience of faith. Makes it sound a little better, maybe, right? He doesn't just say, you have to be obedient. He says, God has given you the obedience of faith. Well, what is the obedience of faith, right? It's believing in Christ and by that being made obedient. It is a wonderful thing. It is a good thing. It's trusting in Christ who obeyed for us. And so when we have that, when we have that obedience of faith, we can stand with Jesus and we can say to the devil, you're not going to fool me on this. You're trying to get to my pride, but I know better. I trust my Heavenly Father. He is good. He's shown me His good. He loves me. He gave His Son Jesus for me. He has promised me life in heaven. So you're not going to fool me. I trust Him and I will obey Him. You might be, this might help a little to know that the word obey in Greek and Hebrew is just listen. That's what the word is, listen. Listening is, you know, obeying is listening. And that's what we do. We listen to God's word and we trust him. That's what Jesus did. So the devil comes, tries to get him sin, and he just uses God's word. No, no. A man shall not live by bread alone. Shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Shall serve the Lord God and him only. So he uses God's word. He just listens. And that's what obedience is. Now, one more thing I really want to tell you about obedience is part of the reason we don't like it is because we think it's bad, we think it's boring and it's not any fun. So if I just have to obey mom and dad all the time, that is not fun, we think. Or if I have to obey my boss, it's not fun. Obey my teacher, it's not fun. Well, that's misconstrued. That's what the devil has taught us. But actually, obedience, when we are obedient, it brings the most joy. So all I have to do to convince you of this is think about when somebody disobeys the law, does it make them happy? I mean, right now, this morning, while we're sitting here, some people are sitting in prison. Do you think they are happy by their disobedience? No, they're miserable. Disobeying the law brings misery. It brings pain. And that's with even disobeying your parents. It's the same way. It doesn't bring joy. But obedience brings joy. You know, when we can trust God and we can say, God, I cast all my cares on you and I know you care for me. Or we can say, God, I know that today you're going to give me everything I need to live and I don't have to worry about anything. That's peace. That's joy. Or to say, I can take all the good things that are happening in life and all the bad things, and I can say, God, I know you're going to work them all for my good. That is really joyful. Obedience really is not a bad word. Jesus obeyed for us. By his obedience, we're saved. And living in him, then, we also learn the obedience of faith to say, Lord, I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.